To 1 Samuel, and we'll pick up where we left off 2 weeks ago. Well, just a brief summary for those who weren't able to be here. In our last study, we looked at an event that took us into a time of peace for Israel. You may recall that the Philistines had come up against Israel and were ready to commit a great slaughter, but yet once again, our great God delivered them from the great slaughter. Once again, the ruler of all that is showed his power by thundering a great thunder, discomfiting the Philistines, throwing them into a disarray, scaring them from where they were, and he gave victory to the people of Israel. Our Lord, God Almighty, fought for his people and delivered them from what was to come. What a picture that is of all of God's people. Every one of us have been delivered from what we deserve by our great Savior. And then Israel once again turned away from the King of Kings, looking to a king as those of this world. You may recall God told Samuel to hearken unto the voices of the people in all that they say unto thee. They came to Samuel because his sons were wicked, because his sons were selling their judgment, taking bribes for filthy lucre, where they should have been judging for God's sake. Hearken unto the voice of the people, the Lord said to Samuel, in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. I will not have this God rule over me, is what we've all said at one time or another, isn't it?
You bet.
That's what the people of Israel did. God also instructed Samuel to describe the type of king that they would get. And you may recall, it was a very bleak picture indeed. Consider the contrast for a moment between the king that they would get and the king that they rejected. The king that they rejected was gracious and merciful in forgiving them of their sins. The king they wanted would be harsh and make them pay their own debts. The king that they rejected was loving, providing, caring, compassionate, giving of himself. And the king they wanted would look upon them as lowly, beneath him, less than him. And he would take from them all that he could, and he would use them to their very end. The king that they rejected humbled himself and became a servant to the people. The king they desired would raise himself above all and make them serve him. But oh, I never tire of telling about the love of God, the King of Kings, for his people. A love that exceeds all imagination, no matter what we can think of. And I couldn't help but yesterday think of about that little animal that our Lord brought into our lives that loved us no matter what. Isn't that interesting how a dog will come back to its owner no matter what? Keep coming to him. Come running to him. Kathy and I were on a trip for 6 days. And we came home and the little dog was just going crazy. Oh, so good to see you. In a way, that's just a small drop to feed our imagination of the real and true love that God has for his people. And I never, never tire of telling about that love. A love that began before the world was created. A love that determined all that is. A love that brought God himself down from heaven to provide himself a propitiation, a substitute, a sacrifice for his chosen people. He says, they shall be my people. I shall be their God, and I will write my laws upon their hearts. But that love is for a particular people. It's a perfect love. If it were a love for all of creation, then none would be destroyed. All would be saved, for the blood that was shed on the cross a little over 2,000 years was the perfect blood of God Almighty in the flesh, Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. And because He is God, because He is all-powerful, the purpose of that blood was accomplished. Not maybe, accomplished. It is done. To say that God gave His only begotten Son for all of mankind is to say that His blood was not sufficient. It was not good enough. His love is not enough. You must add something to it. You must decide. You must accept. You. Scriptures say differently, don't they? No man cometh unto the Father but by me, our Lord says. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, He says. My sheep hear my voice, is what He says. In the men's meeting this morning, Brother Darrell read these very verses from Ephesians 1. Allow me to read from verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption, through His blood. Oh, the good news, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Yeah. Do you ever get tired of hearing that? Until the Lord takes me out of this world, I will see the sin of this flesh. And every time I hear that, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, I remember, oh, what love He has for me. Scriptures declare throughout that man is depraved in sin and can do nothing to save himself. Salvation is of the Lord. And our great King, Jesus Christ, is Lord of all. I once again ask you, who is your King? This people, they wanted a king that they could see. One who was of this world, and that's exactly what they were going to get. You know, the world is cursed, and everything in it. Everything. Let that sink in for a moment. Everything is cursed. Sin has brought a curse upon this entire world. So let's look at Samuel chapter 9, verse 1, and take a look at this king of the world. Verse 1. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeor, the son of Beshurath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. Look at the pedigree of this man. Whole list of great names there. A mighty man. A Benjamite. And he had a son whose name was Saul. A choice young man and a goodly. And there was none among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. For his shoulders and upward he was higher than any of the people. Allow me the honor to read for you a portion of Robert Hawker's commentary on this. Robert Hawker writes, the pedigree of Saul is first set down in verse 1, and afterwards the portrait of his person is penciled out as we see in verse 2. It is worthy the reader's observation in the very first outlines of Saul that while his person is thus set off to the greatest advantage, not a word is said of the qualities of his mind. Isn't that interesting? God's description of this man had nothing to do whether he was a man of God or anything else. He was all of this world. He came from a long line of Benjamites, mighty men. He was better looking than anybody that was in Israel. All worldly things that man can see. Saul is no doubt a comely one to look upon, a man of degree, one to look up to, you might say, one who would be pleasing to look at. Look here, this is our king. See how pretty he is? Look at this. He sits on his throne up here, it's all gold and everything. Isn't that cool? Yeah. That's my king. No, it's not mine. But that's what the world would say. We just went through that, didn't we? With the marriage of some royalty over in... Wasn't it all about how, look at this is our king? Beauty is only skin deep.
Yes, sir.
Verse 3. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul his son, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise and go seek the asses. And he passed through Mount Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant, that this that was with him, come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. What we see here, folks, what we see in what we just read is the King of Kings making a king. Our Lord controls everything.
You're right.
Those animals weren't lost by accident. There's no such thing as an accident. Our God is a God of purpose, and everything is purposed, including those animals walking away. He who controls the wind is working all things out for the good to them that love him, those who have been called. Our God is a providential God, and nothing is by chance. Once again, I take the liberty to quote Robert Hawker. He says, it is truly instructive to remark how the Lord in his providence overrules and accomplishes the greatest designs from the slenderest means. The wandering of the asses laid the foundation for Saul's seeking after them, and his not finding them again paved the way for bringing him near Samuel. Thus the Lord sometimes worketh without means, and sometimes with means. But it is sweet in the after stages to look back and see how the Lord is carrying on in all we seem to be contriving and ordering. Is it not? Do we not look back and say, oh, look what the Lord did there, how he took care of that for me? How often, how often we sit down in the men's meeting and a brother brings something in reading and then it goes right in line with the devotional. And then it doesn't stop there. It just keeps going right on into the Bible study. And these are four different men. But the pastor gets up and preaches a message. Four different men had no idea what they were going to talk about. But God did. And God led every one of them to talk about what he wanted them to talk
yes.
about. That's exactly what this is. This is the king of all kings, making a king of the world. Making a man who is of this world king over people. Drawing him by these animals leaving their place of residence. Drawing him, looking for them, to this very spot where God wanted this man to be. Just as he did me. all that I went through, the Lord was drawing me into this church that day. Oh, how often we look back in our own lives and see the wondrous works of our great King. Kathy and I went on our little trip to Oregon last week. I got to share this story with you because this goes right along with this. Our very first day there, we had rented a house for my sons and my grandchildren. And our very first day there, within 2 hours of moving into this place, I lost the keys. I hadn't gone anywhere yet. I hadn't even left the house. It has to be somewhere right here. And we tore the house apart. All six of us spent the whole evening taking everything apart, everything that we hadn't even looked. I know I didn't go in that shelf, but I looked anyway. Everywhere. I went to bed that night thinking, I know it was just keys. You can always have those made, but that just bothered me like you wouldn't believe. I couldn't sleep. And I prayed, Lord, if it's your will, I'll find them. And by the morning time, after 2 hours of more looking, I had given up. I was just, okay, it's God's will. It's God's will that I just don't find them. I walked out the front door, and I had only been down that walkway alongside the house to the front door once. And I just, now, instead of going out through the garage, walked out the front door, and I'm just looking down at the ground over there, and there's little ground flower stuff going on, and there's my keys laying right there in the grass, in the ground flower. Oh Lord, wait on you. And you'll show me the right ways. How often have we heard that very same testimony from others on testimony night? I can't tell you how many times I've heard Shirley Jukic tell us about something that went missing or something that she needed and the Lord provided for. Our God is so good. I know it's just keys, but even the small things does He not give to us? He gave His only begotten Son. Is there anything that He would withhold? No. Even the small details, such as moving one man to choose a particular scripture to read and then moving another to bring a devotional or to go through a particular event in your life that is troubling. Frightening, maybe. Fierce in ways that words cannot explain. And we see the way our great King leads us through these times of trial and delivers us out the other side. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. Amen. Though my weary steps may falter, and oh, they do so often, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see, Jesus doeth all things well. Imagine yourself going through what our dear brother Bill has gone through. But I want you to stop for a moment and imagine what it would be like to go through without the Lord. Or even worse, something I can't even imagine, losing a loved one. I love what my brother Bill wrote in a recent text concerning the test results showing there is no more cancer. And the idea that the doctors and the therapists believe that he can return to eating regular foods, seeing most who have gone through what he has gone through to that extent never return to normal eating. I quote, "I thank God for this and for all the prayers of my brothers and sisters that go up to him." End of quote. You see, this is the attitude placed there by God himself. Who is sufficient for these things? Not I. Not of myself. Lord, I need thee every hour. I need thee every minute. I need thee every second. I need thee. What is your trust in this moment? Is it chance? Is it a maybe? Or even worse, maybe it's yourself. Is your confidence in your flesh? Is your confidence in what you do? Oh, I can do this. I got it. No, I don't. God's people come to know this very sure thing, and it's as sure can be. There is no confidence in our flesh. All the way my Savior leads me and keeps me, for he has loved me with an everlasting, all-powerful, all-efficient love that cannot be thwarted. I am confident that nothing can separate me from the love that is in Christ Jesus, my Lord, my King, my God. Verse 6. And he, Saul, said unto him, his servant, "Behold now, there is a city." The servant said to Saul, "Behold now, there is a city, a man of God. There is in this city a man of God, and he is honorable man, and all that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither, preadventure, that he can show us our way that we should go." Then said Saul to his servant, "But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring the man of God. What have we?" And the servant answered Saul again and said, "Behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give the man of God to tell us our way. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, 'Come and let us go to the seer.' For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. What must I pay for the help of God we see? What must I do to be saved? Well, this is the nature of man, the nature of sinful flesh, to say, 'What must I pay to seek the help of God? What must I do to be saved?' Well, the problem is that we don't see our depravity. We don't see that there is nothing in us. We don't see that we have nothing. We are broke before a holy thrice God who demands perfection and who can accept nothing less. This is the nature of man, the nature of sinful flesh. It takes a revelation from God to see our true nature, a revelation to see our need of a Savior. Folks, salvation is of the Lord from start to finish. When the Christ of Scriptures gave sight to the blind man, what was it that he said? He said, "Once I was blind, now I see. I was dead, and I know I was dead. And I know there was no God in my life." But now I see. I see the truth of who our real sovereign, ruling King is. Creator of everything, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. when the Christ of Scriptures calls his own to life, giving spiritual life to one who was once spiritually dead, that person will live. He didn't ask Lazarus, hey, do you want to come forth today? Maybe tomorrow? Maybe the next day? No, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And what happened? Lazarus came forth. When I heard the word of God the first time, the Lord was speaking to me, John, come forth. I had no idea what it was, but I came forth. Oh, that sounds good. Maybe I will. No. I don't know why. I'm still coming back. I got to hear about the one who rules. I got to hear, Daryl, every time about the King who rules over my life. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Because my Savior is God in the flesh, because my Savior is Jesus Christ the Lord, because he laid down his life and shed his own blood for me, because of what he has done, I can stand perfectly before my Maker, dressed in his righteousness. I can echo the words of Paul. When speaking to the Philippians, he said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Who is your King? I leave you with that.